Hi, you are listening to Record of Change. My name is Matthias and I'm your host for this episode. Record of Change features the stories of individuals from across the world about how their lives are being shaped by the COVID-19 pandemic. We listen to our interviewees at several points in time because we want to follow the stories of how their lives are changing. In today's episode, we listen again to Blanca, who is based in Quito, Ecuador. This is the second episode with Blanca. If you're interested in hearing what she said in the beginning of this year, you can find her in season 3. Today, Blanca will share with us how a COVID infection changed her family planning and what is it like to be a pregnant woman on the Ecuadorian job market. Thank you for joining us again. Good to see you again after half a year. It's been 6 months since we talked last time.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, many things had happened during this time. I mean, last time we actually talked, I was waiting for my results, right? My COVID results, which were negative, right? So I actually overcame without any problem. But later, 15 days later that we talked, I realized I was pregnant.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
So those are like the COVID post effects.
What is the relation between COVID and getting pregnant?
I do have my own. I think this is what we think with my husband, right? Actually, 3 years ago, Isaac, my first son, he has 5 years old. So when he was 2, we said, all right, we need to start working in our second children. So we actually kind of planned it at that time, like 3 years ago. But things weren't working. I think maybe I was really stressful with all the, you know, like the worries about paying bills, having a job that can pay the bills and all that. And I believe when I got the COVID, I realized 2 things about my job. First, that I love my job. I love teaching, but the place where I was working, it was very frustrating for me because I did really well, and I felt that for the money they were paying me, I was doing like way too much, and I was giving all my time even when I wasn't supposed to. So I stayed up too late. I was working lots of things that I wasn't getting paid for, but I did it because I thought, you know, it's kind of like, but on the other hand, when I got the COVID, I said, you know, I just need to work for what they pay me for. I'm not going to go the extra mile because I've been doing this for 2 years. Like, and it's overwhelming, right? So I kind of like stopped doing it during the COVID. And then later I was just doing my job, the hours that I was supposed to know anymore. I started again working out and, you know, kind of like taking care of my son, taking care of myself, taking care of my family. And then all of a sudden, 15 days later, I was just pregnant. And well, I realized in February, but actually with the doctor, when we actually make the numbers, we realized it was kind of like just after the COVID when it happened. So, so right now I'm in my 25th week. Right?
Wow.
Which is six months and a half, basically. That's
exciting.
What it is.
Yes.
And yeah, it's going to be a boy, Lucas.
Another boy.
It was funny during the first 3 months because we were looking for names. And in Ecuador, you like, there is this countryside where is my family is from. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, it's in Manabí. And they usually put the names of the babies depending on the situation that you're living through. Mm-hmm. So you have political names, you have geographical names. Mm-hmm. And right now that we're living this pandemic, we were talking about calling her, if it was a girl, Pandemina, right? This is like...
So good, maybe, it's not a girl.
Yeah, I know. Maybe that's why it's not a girl. And yeah, we came with Lucas because I... You know, like, there is another thing going on here. It's like... There is lots of these TV shows that are basically series, right? That like The Good Doctor, and there is this Turkish soap opera that we watch every night, which is called Doctor Milagro, like Miracle Doctor. Mm-hmm. And we kind of like thought about a name of a doctor, and Lucas is the doctor. So that's why he's going to be Lucas. Because he's going to be what he wants, but he's kind of like a doctor's name, Lucas. So that's why it's going to be Lucas.
Nice.
Yeah.
When is your due date? 15 weeks from now?
Yeah, well, it's the last week of October, the first week of November. Yeah, it can be any time there.
And then two questions. One is, what is the current situation of the pandemic in Ecuador? And how does it feel for you being pregnant in such situation?
Wow. Well, the first one, I think it's easier. The second one, I have a story because... let's answer the easy one. The first one is that right now things are going back to normal. Let's say it like that, like back to normal. I mean, people are going to work now. Most of the restaurants and businesses are open, all of them. Schools still close, but it's a matter of time. Well, not close at all. I mean, you just receive virtual classes. Mm-hmm. And right now, the vaccination process is going on. There is this plan that is called 900. And it means like 9 million of people vaccinated in 100 days. And why 100 days? Because it's when the new president, Lasso, he actually will accomplish his 100 days of, ruling the government, right? So basically, that was his goal. And now I'm working for that goal because I have a new job. So the vaccination is going well. But at the beginning, it was, for example, the Lenin Moreno. Well, I think we talked about all this this corruption going on through the vaccination process. So I think what with Lenin Moreno, the last president, he was socialist, right? So he kind of like kept all this process inside the government. So the health ministry was the in charge of the vaccination process. Right now, it's not like that. I mean, the health ministry, actually it heads the vaccination process, but it's related with all the public and private companies. So they actually, what we call decentralizaron, like they uncentralized what they had. Mm-hmm. And for example, if you have your company or if you rule, for example, like, let's say like a bus company, right? And you have your employees. So you can actually make like a form and say, you know, I have 1,000 employees and we want to get vaccinated. This is our plan. Mm-hmm. And the government gives you the vaccine so you can actually do all the logistics to vaccinate your people. Mm-hmm. And it has worked in the last 2 months. I'm telling you, I just got my first, a month ago, almost, I got my first shot of Pfizer. Mm-hmm. Even being pregnant at the beginning, I didn't trust, but then I saw lots of people pregnant and I was like, okay, I have to get it as well. Because my doctor said, I'm getting a new job. Well, I'm actually in a new job where I have to get exposed to people. So she said, even though you already had it, right? It's good that you get the vaccine. So I got vaccinated one month ago almost. It's actually working. It's not like the privilege that it was before. Mm-hmm. And people in the hospitals are not dying anymore. I mean, they do. We are getting lots of people in the hospitals, but not at the level that we had last year. Mm. So that's good. That's good in a way. The Delta variant that they are talking about, you know, like, it has killed people, but still people that didn't get the vaccines. It's real, right? I mean, they say, yeah, these people got the Delta variant, but they didn't die, and that's how they are showing it, right? In general terms, I think people are not afraid anymore of the vaccine. My parents already got their shots. My sisters already got their shots. I mean, it's more normal. It's not a privilege anymore.
That's good to know. So how is it for you, like, being pregnant in this time?
Well, talking about the being pregnant, it's on January when I realized I was happy with my students, but I wasn't happy in my job, and I was at that point. But in February, when I realized I was pregnant, I cried. I said, oh my God, nobody's going to hire me because I'm pregnant. Nobody here in Ecuador, nobody hires a pregnant woman. Yeah. And I started applying to different places in March. And of course, when they called me, I said that I was pregnant because I think it's something that I had to say, right? But they never called me back again. And I have this friend of mine. She was working already in last government in the Ministry of Education. So she actually wanted to know lots of things that were happening in the virtual classroom so they can take decisions. So we actually did a lot of exchange of experience, right? I told her what things work for me. And she actually introduced me to lots of people. And then she said, oh, hey, there is this opportunity. And I said, I'm pregnant. And then she's like, well, we are having a new government. We have to see who's coming. And then a woman that is well prepared, she got a place. And my friend got my resume and she said, right, she's pregnant. Mm-hmm. And then she was really pro-feminist. So she's like, oh, she needs to be there. That was April, but until things actually were, favorable enough, I was actually I got the call on July the 9th or something like that. And then first thing again, they call me and I said, well, I'm 5 months pregnant. And they call me to get my position in a place that it's far from Quito. It's 3 hours away from Quito. But since I was pregnant, they said, you can do remote work, right? And basically work on the education. And basically what I have to do is just kind of check that all the planning for the classes for the kids, but also manage all the pressure that the vaccine program is bringing. So I'm responsible of almost 20,000 kids right now. And they have, only 7,000 are from 16 to 19 years old. Mm-hmm. So they need to get vaccinated and I have to do all the chronograms and the logistics to get the vaccines to those people. And we already started with the teachers. We did a really good last week. And right now we are working on the logistics and all the distribution of the vaccines for the first group of students, which are from 16 to 90 years old. And this is coming on this week, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, we will probably have the first group of people getting vaccinated of students.
That sounds extremely busy then.
Maybe the hardest process that I'm actually going through right now, we have to get those schools ready to go back, to come back to school because they're in classes right now. And it's a challenge because they're very, very, very poor schools. I mean, they didn't have before the pandemic, they didn't have a bathroom. And right now, because of the pandemic, the new rule is you at least have to have two bathrooms per school, even when it's a small school as 12 or 15 people.
And does it mean once all the students are vaccinated, your job is done and you're out?
Well, actually, my job will be done in 3 months because I have to go to leave because of my son. And that's where... That's probably a personal goal. What can I do in 3 months? Well, I can get those students vaccinated. I can maybe find from my 33 schools that need to have bathrooms, at least two bathrooms per school. I mean, 66 bathrooms for my schools. Mm-hmm. And that's probably my goal, my personal goal. And then after that, I will have maternity leave, which means I will be out for 120 days, which is 4 months. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I'm coming back. I mean, it's a long way.
Yes. Well,
yeah.
Let me ask you about your pregnancy because so you experienced a pregnancy in pre-pandemic times. Mm-hmm. And now in pandemic times, which also means you're running for the regular checkups and you're preparing for the delivery. What do you experience differently? So, I mean, I have one kid. She was born last year, September. So during pandemic, there were lots of obstacles. Like I was not always allowed to go in there with my wife for delivery. Fortunately, I was allowed to. How is it for you and your husband?
Well, we, like, for example, when we go to the checkout and all that, we go together. We haven't had any, because we are not going to the public system. We're going to the private system. So maybe that's the reason why mm-hmm. we can actually get that that privilege. But yeah, like if you go into public hospitals and that, you, only the patient is the one that goes in. Nobody else can go with the patient. Mm-hmm. And right now at this point, thank God everything has gone normal. I'm actually getting my vitamins and that. I think even though this job that I just got is a little bit more stressful, I feel more dynamic and I feel more energy in the sense that I'm very active and I'm kind of like happy with what I'm doing. And I think in that sense, it's been good with the being pregnant. I remember when I was pregnant with my other boy, I was working in the public system also. Mm-hmm. But I remember we were implementing a project where I had to travel a lot during that time. And mm-hmm. I remember I suffer a lot, all the dizziness, all this, you know, what you get on during pregnancy, right? But right now, I feel pretty different.
Do you have concerns regarding your newborn and the pandemic? I mean, I can share that I'm still super careful. Like, I mean, people here are vaccinated. I'm vaccinated. My wife is vaccinated. But of course, our kid cannot be vaccinated. And yeah, I'm worrying about it a lot.
Right. Yeah, well, it's the same as my kid, right? But in general, I'm trying to, when I got the COVID, well, we were all scared, right? But in general, I think one of the things that we learned is that we need to eat well, we need to sleep well, kind of like prevent all the situations. And especially with my boy, I mean, we actually are like behind him all the time, you know, eat your vegetables, you need to eat more fruits, you need to do sports. So he's doing swimming, he's doing soccer, kind of like keep him active. My concerns about the one that is coming is, yeah, maybe the day in the hospital, but that's why we actually decided to go into a private hospital, into a private treatment, because we kind of like expected that, you know, like we don't want just to go to the public hospital so we can actually be more secure. But in general terms, I'm very positive right now about it. I think mm-hmm. seeing the numbers of people that are getting the COVID but are not dying, it's really positive. And in general, that's what we've seen. I mean, every day is more normal to hear that somebody near you has COVID, but it's not dying. I mean, so that's a good sign in general.
Yeah. And can you already see how is your older son affected by this troublesome year? I mean, maybe for a 5-year-old being confronted much more than kids before with what is disease, what is pandemic, what is mortality, things like this.
All right. So I told you that even TV shows right now, we have so many TV shows that talk about I mean, he's surrounded by that. So for example, he was playing the other day. He's like, I'm doing a surgery. So everything that it's for him is kind of like, I mean, we play with my sister when we were little. We did play that we were doctors like that, but he's kind of like, in a way, it's what he hears, right? So he's like, oh, when I grow up, I'll be a doctor and I'll do surgeries. And he's kind of like pretending all the time, right? Like, oh, telling you, oh, you should wear a mask. He's kind of like obsessed with that. And then when I got the vaccine, he's like, so if you already got the vaccine, why are you wearing the mask? I mean, you shouldn't be wearing it. That's his logic, right? So he's kind of like, I think this has shaped his own little world. He's going through all that. I mean, everything is related with health. Everything is related. All his games, all his activities, Because in, for example, in the soccer, or they play with the mask in the soccer, mm-hmm. in the soccer academy where he's actually twice per week he goes to. And then he was in the swimming classes. I mean, all the bio security measures that they actually implemented, he follows them just, you know, by the book. And it's his new, I mean, it's a new way how he, they because he's not in a school, right? I mean, we haven't opened the schools yet here. Mm-hmm. As in Europe, right? So the only place where he actually gets to see and to be with kids are in this after classes school, mm-hmm. and that's how his world is like.
This was episode 4 of our 5th season of Record of Change, featuring Blanca from Quito, Ecuador. If you like this episode or Record of Change in general, we would love to hear your feedback, and even more so if you would like to share it with your networks. Follow us on your favorite podcast provider or on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, or our website, recordofchange.com. This podcast is implemented with and by members of the Bosch Alumni Network, a community that brings together former and current fellows, grantees, and staff members of the Robert Bosch Stiftung and its partners. Thank you for listening.